Slater?
Yes.
We'll be with Mr. Anderson in just a moment.
Thank you.
He's on the line, is he?
Yes, he's on the line.
Thank you very much.
Bill, get me a yellow notepad here.
Hello, is this Preston Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Anderson.
Hi, Bob.
I've had a long talk with Harry Burton. And I have told him that...
A little louder, Bob.
I say I have had a long talk with Harry Burton.
Yeah.
And I've told him of the long association that we've had together and that he couldn't have a more frugal, a more dependable man in the position that you are. Value of money, but he has no more the sense of it that you have, that I think that you have to be president of the whole country and not just president of part of the country, that the doctor has help, and that he is one of the fellows that ought to give it to you, that the tax bill is a great deal for the whole economy of the country, and that I would think that it would be a good thing to that he had the highest possible regard for the home in America, and I have the highest regard for him. That I went all out, just last year or 2 years ago, and he was in fact. Now, he said, I've got some problems of my own. He said, one of them is what's in a store. And he said, in a store, doesn't like the fact that he's got a box of heparin. And he said, I can't afford to bypass him more than I can from other countries. And, well, he may not offer anything for most people. I still got to listen to the member. I still got to have the evidence. He wants to introduce it or have it here. Well, I said, what is the earliest time that you think you can get this thing out? And he said, well, I would certainly try to get it out by the first of the year. Well, I said, now, of course, having to be very helpful to get it out before the first year. So that's the holiday season, and that means you get it out at the first of the year, say, over in January. And he said, I'm just not sure whether I could make it over, make it in the past year or not. Well, I said, now, I've been in this business an awful long time, and I don't think there's any new evidence or any new figures or any new facts that can be brought to the committee above and beyond that which you already have. And he said, well, I'm inclined to agree with you. But at the same time, I've got to be committee members of my committee. He told me about a newspaper story.
I can't hear you, Bob.
I say he told me about a newspaper story in which they said there was going to be some kind of an effort made to amend one of the bills before the Senate.
That's not true at all, and that's Clint Anderson said that, and I have a recording of the conversation, and never even took place. He just wanted to make it appear that he was Byrd's protector. The man's got a mental quirk, and we can't say that, but he called up Walter and told him that he wanted to help any way he could, and I talked to him, and I said, now, when can we get a bill out? He said, you can't get it out this year. He wants to go home. He's one of the chief advocates of vacation in New Mexico. I said, I just think we've got to get a bill out this year, but I never discussed taking it up outside of the regular committee procedures. Although that might have to be done, I have not discussed it. But Anderson went out said he had been commissioned by me to do this, and that he had, out of deference to Harry Byrd, he wouldn't dare do it. Well, of course, he's not a tenth the friend of Harry Byrd that I am, but he wants a little publicity, and it's kind of like Boggs announcing my commission ahead of me the other day.
Well, now, I'll tell you what I did. When Harry told me this, I told him that this was absolutely false. I said I was there. I talked to the president. He told me that under no circumstances would he try to buy the NCU or the committee. He understands this procedure as well as you do or anybody else does. And I don't care who said what. I'm telling you that he didn't do it, and under no circumstances would he do it, unless it just came down to an absolute necessity.
That is correct.
And he said, well, he was glad to hear that. He said, I accept your statement of it. Now, I suggested he call you up. And I suggested that he call you and say, I'd like to come down privately and confidentially and have a talk. Well, I think I'll do that. Now, whether he will or he won't, I don't know.
I wish you'd tell him that you think he ought to, that I would do it, except I don't want. I just have him come in, pay my respects, and talk to me about frugality in government, make recommendations on economy and thrift, tell him that you and George Humphrey and some of his friends in New York have just insisted on this, and that we've already got several hundred million out of this budget that's proposed to us. And I had McNamara work last night till 9 o'clock, and I stayed at White House all day myself. We got out 7,500 letters to the contractors. I called the Comptroller General. I'm going to call John McClellan this morning and ask him to go after these contractors to watch this waste. And you'd be surprised the effect this thing's going to have.
Well, I've already told him that, and I told him to call you, and I think you're going to get a call from him.
Well, I wish he would, because if it don't, I'm going to call him, and I think it'd look like a lot better if he was seeking the appointment rather than I was pressuring him.
Well, this is exactly what I said to him. I told him that I knew that he'd be very receptive.
Come on in.
And I think he's going to call him.
Well, if he called me, I'll sure see him. Now, I hope you're proud of this this defense move that we've made. I want you to spread that around your business community about these contractors and what we're doing, and I'm going to call, I ask our Comptroller General to start patrolling it. He's an independent appointee, and I'm going to ask McClellan to patrol it. And then I think that we'll go back to the individuals and their efficiency reports on their promotions and ask the Joint Chiefs just not to promote anybody that's got this record, and then we'll make a little few spot checks ourselves.
Well, when I see you, I'll give you two or three ideas about that sentence. I'm spending all my time on the telephone. Here in California. The ladies who will get in behind. With the full support, telling them about my whole knowledge and what you've got to do all this money.
Well, I'm shooting at that goal that you've got, which I'm considerably away from, but I've got two meetings on it today, and I'm shooting at it, and I think you're going to be surprised when we get through with it. I just want to be damn sure that it doesn't prove that these extremists that think that you've got to pour all this stuff in to keep the economy going right. I hope the economy rises instead of falls.
Well, so do I.
They claim you all caused three depressions because of your talk about it.
Well, I know that.
So you know there are two sides of that coin.
That's right. Let me ask you another thing. Would you like for Bill Mike to call you?
Well, I've had a talk with him. I won't sit down and visit with him. I set up a meeting this morning, told him I want him in every couple of weeks. First man I want you to talk to is Don Cook there. Call him and tell him if he's not busy today, you'd like to get together with him, and you all talk about the relationship of Treasury and Federal Reserve, and I want any ideas you can give me on balance payments, anything we got to do. And see what he thinks about it and try to get to know him.
Call him today. Of course, I know him, but I'll come to know him better. You see, when I went down there...
He's coming down here at 6:30 this evening. He's coming here at 6:30 this evening. Yeah. Okay.